The following audio is from the King's Chapel. You can find out more about our church at thekingschapel.org.
Good morning. Some of you may know my mother lived until she was 90, almost 98. And I would see her in her chair getting up, and I wondered why she did it. And now I know. You have to make up your mind. I did say good morning, didn't I? The Lord be with you, and let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're not here because we're casual seekers. We're earnest. And in the depths of our hearts, we would see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith. And we do pray that our ears will be opened, and it's not just sounds that strike the eardrum, but meaningful words that come from the mouth of the Good Shepherd. Those words come, Lord, through your written word, through your proclaimed word, through the prayers that we sing and say, and even from the words that are spoken almost casually by our brothers and sisters in this body of Christ. Lord, we've come because we need to take the next step of growth in the Christian life. We would be mature spiritually. And therefore, we would know your word, the full counsel of your word. Lord, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. There's nothing in us that you do not know. And so we come before you conscious of all of our debts, our sins of commission, and our sins of omission. And Lord, we depend definitely upon your forgiveness, your reconciliation that comes to us because our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ died on the cross. Yes, we are washed in the blood and therefore are clean and white. Obviously, Lord, that's symbolic language. And we have the privilege of experiencing what we talk about. So we thank you that we're here, that we're able to not only serve you with our hearts, but with our minds and with our lives. And we thank you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. And all God's people said, Amen. Now, once again, and for some time, the Lord willing, we're trying to hear God's word spoken to us by the inspired Apostle Paul as he wrote to the Ephesians. And that church letter is a church letter for all people. And what we've seen for a number of months is that the beginning of the Christian life is not saying what you and I ought to do. The beginning of the Christian life comes when we understand what our Heavenly Father has already done for us. And we use words like grace and mercy, God's riches at Christ's expense, not receiving what we deserve to receive. The reason why you and I know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior is by the grace and mercy of God. His Holy Spirit has opened our eyes and our hearts, and we see and we understand. And Paul declares this in the first three chapters with all of its facets, what we call chapters. That God's purpose from all eternity was our salvation, and that salvation was accomplished in history in Jesus Christ. And we only know because the Holy Spirit opens our hearts and minds, enables us to understand something that we wouldn't understand otherwise, and when we look around, there are a great many people who do not understand. But when we count our blessings and name them one by one, then how do we respond? And we respond by living a different kind and quality of life. And the Hebrew way of saying this is that we walk differently. And Paul uses five different ways of describing that walk. And the first is that we walk, and this surprises us. He doesn't talk first about our life in a family. He talks first about our life in the family of God. That we respond by walking a balanced life. We respond balancing all of God's blessings by the way in which we live in the body of Christ. And the whole point of this is that we are in Christ. And then, if that is so, Christ's Spirit and we, Christ, is in us. So we live a life in balance in the church, and we live in the truth. And Jesus is the truth. It's reality. We're led out of delusion and illusion. And then the third step is that we live in love, and the fourth step is that we live in the light, not in the darkness. And the fifth step is that we live in wisdom. Now, obviously, this is not what some people call human wisdom. This is the wisdom that can only come to us through the Holy Spirit. But for a few weeks, we looked at walking in love. And the greatest perversion of love is the misuse of God's wonderful gift of sexuality. We're told at the beginning of the fifth chapter, we're to be imitators of God. And this is the only place in the Bible where we're told that. And obviously, we're not God and we're not Jesus. But what he means here is one aspect. Be perfect as I am perfect, said the Lord. And he's talking about forgiveness as the expression of love. Paul has just stated that God in Christ has forgiven us. So if we're going to walk in love, the first thing we need to do is recognize that that love is expressed in forgiveness to others. Now, the Lord taught us to pray that what we call the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, and to forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I think that's so important because debts covers not only the sins that we commit, but debts covers all those good things that we failed to do, that God's Spirit was urging us to do. And how then can we not forgive the debts of others? How can we hold any unforgiveness in our hearts? That's the kind of love that the Lord is talking about. In this sense, we are imitators of God. And of course, if we do not have that forgiving spirit, then it's impossible for us to experience God's love for us. But what's the perversion? The perversion is quite obvious. The perversion is how we misuse sex. And what we don't realize is that the judgment of God doesn't just come at the end. The judgment of God begins. We have immediate consequences whenever we misuse God's good gifts. And of course, people don't think that. Part of devil's deception is, you know, this is the way you should live. Enjoy life. God's an old meanie. He's trying to put fences around you. No, God's not an old meanie. Satan is the great deceptor. You know, morality doesn't matter. Ethics doesn't matter. Everything's relative. Now, if you believe that, you are totally deceived. If you act on the basis of that belief, you are totally enslaved. And people, oh, I'm free. I can do as I please. Oh, no. Drug addict free? Is the alcoholic free? Is the sexual perverter free? Now, this is what we're facing. This is what the world says. You know, forget about all these so-called moral values. They don't matter. And this is the deception. So are you going to live in the truth? And later on, are you going to live in the light or in the darkness? Are you going to live as a slave? Even though you think you're free, you're a slave. Now, I came back to this passage, I think, for the third or fourth time because I wanted you to look clearly at the conclusion to it. What I've been describing here is the very beginning, that we need to forgive as God has forgiven us. And this is an expression of love. Let's move on to the next slide. And let there be no what? Filthiness. No, don't think foolishly. Don't have any vulgar talk. Now, you know, there was a time when, believe it or not, I was much younger than I am now. We all go through the period where sometimes we think that sexual jokes are funny. And what it gets me today is that comedians are no longer comedians. They're not bright enough. All you have to do is listen to their limited vocabulary. And then what do they have to make fun of? Except that the greatest gift our Heavenly Father has given us in our personal relationships. And if we think it's funny, we better think again. Vulgar talk. Taking a good gift of God and ruining it by the way in which we describe it, or even more important, use it. This is the problem. What we should say is, Lord, we just thank you for this wonderful gift in which we give ourselves to one another completely, because this is an expression of our love, not an expression of our egocentricity and our lust. We don't want to manipulate you. We want to give ourselves to you. And this has to be in a committed relationship, and it has to be according to the way in which God intended this gift to be used. Everything is all right, no matter how we pervert it. Everything is relative. There are no absolutes. And I love this, you know. There are no absolutes. Are you absolutely sure? You just made a statement that you thought was absolute. In any way, do you consider the gift with thanksgiving to God? For one of the greatest experiences of committing your life to another person, and actually it cannot be multiplied. Now this is the issue here. Let's go on. I want to see the conclusion. You were what? Do you have any understanding? This word here is interesting. What Paul is actually saying, you know because you know. You really know. And if you don't accept what I'm saying intellectually, you will know in your experience that you have totally messed up your life. And just ask the drug addict, ask the alcoholic, ask the person who has to have one sexual experience after another with different people. Now, what's the conclusion of this? And we have to be very careful here. If you are sexually perverted, if you're misusing the gift, you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now, I want to say two things here. There's an expression for your edification. There is no difference between the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God. That word "and" there means you have no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ. That is in the kingdom of God. There is no difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of Christ and the kingdom of God. Now, if you were wondering why I'm saying this, there are some false theologies around. There are some people who say, oh, you know, first of all, you experience the kingdom of Christ and then later on the kingdom of God. Not at all. That word is the kingdom of Christ. That is the kingdom of God. And in addition to that, kingdom of heaven is used in the Gospel of Matthew because it is written primarily to Jewish people. And the writer of that gospel wants to be clear about something. The Jewish person does not want to take the name God upon their lips. At this time, it was too sacred. It was taking the name of God in vain. Would that some of us were just as serious. But there was a superstition. You do not say the word God. You say Lord. That's where they come. Lord God, yes, but Lord. So there's no difference between kingdom of heaven. Matthew uses that term because he wants it to be acceptable to the Jewish people in their understanding. and they don't want to read Kingdom of God. But there is also no difference between Kingdom of Christ and Kingdom of God. Now, the other issue here, if you have misused this gift, there is not despair, there is hope if you hear the gospel. You can repent. The Lord Jesus has paid the price. You can be forgiven. You can be cleansed. You know, there are people who want to be forgiven, but they don't want to be cleansed. The Holy Spirit can bring God's forgiveness to your heart and life. He can bring God's cleansing to your heart and life. And He can enable you then to bring your life into accord with the will of God. Now, the next step here is walk in the light, because the light means that you discern the will of God. You're not walking in the darkness. Now, I will say to you, if you have misused this gift, there is no reason to despair if you really hear the gospel. If you continue to misuse this gift, if you do not repent, if you're not cleansed, if you do not start afresh as a new creature, you have no ultimate inheritance in the kingdom of God. That is not good news. That is not good news. That is damnation. You're alienated from God. You're alienated for everything that is good. You're spiritually dead. But the gospel is there this morning. You've misused a lot of God's gifts, but this is the key one. This does something to the very center of your being. It alienates the expression of your love in sex from genuine love. And it's very difficult to get it back together again. But there is not only forgiveness, there is cleansing. There is a new creation. There's a new start. This is the good news. And it's very clear here this morning with one of the basic problems in every human life. Every one of us. If you misuse this gift, repent. Accept God's forgiveness. Become a new creature in Christ. Let His Holy Spirit guide and correct you. There will be some recovery between love and sex. But like lots of things, there are consequences. The Lord will help us overcome some of those. But the ultimate consequence is, will you have eternal fellowship, not only with your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, but with all those whom you genuinely love. Genuinely. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, there's no way in which we can adequately thank you that in spite of our sinfulness, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that is the definition of genuine love. A love that loves the unlovable. And Lord, we thank you that you love us when we're unlovable. And that you pour your Spirit into our hearts that enables us to set forth on that program of growth that enables us to be disciples of Jesus Christ, who are the kind of people you created and have redeemed. The cost was great, and we are so grateful. We offer this our prayer in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, Amen.